Hi, Don Ed Hardy.
What do you say you are these days, Don?
Well, I'm just an artist. A lot of people know me because of my tattooing, but I went through art school. I've been an artist my whole life, so now I just am doing my personal art. I stopped tattooing about 7 or 8 years ago. So.
My name is Paul Maloney. I'm a master printer from San Francisco.
What are you seeing here that's new or stretching this medium?
I'm seeing a lot of great student work from student work from coming out of UH Manoa, I assume. And there's a lot of really good woodcuts and lithography and etching. And I'm looking for an approach to traditional craft and skills by younger people and taking those skills and really pushing the media. And I see that happening, making bigger prints, making more risky imagery, and just a high level of skill.
Risky imagery in what way?
There's not any work that's sort of politically risky or agit-pop or there's not a lot of sexual imagery or anything like that. I don't mean that. I mean sort of a vulnerability to the work that speaks to me, and I call that risk-taking. It's hard for young artists to put themselves out there, and that's what I'm looking for.
Huh. I like that, because angry is rather easy, but
right.
Truly vulnerable is a little...
Uh-huh. Yeah. It takes more courage, I think, to do that, yeah.
But in a sense, that's the direction you've been going.
Well, I got my undergraduate degree in printmaking, intaglio printmaking at the Art Institute in San Francisco, and I began making prints while I was just finishing high school, and then eventually I was obsessed with tattooing when I was 10 years old. That was kind of my destiny, and when I finished my undergraduate work, as much as I was completely smitten with printmaking, very traditional kind of etching, I decided to become a professional tattooer, which 50 years ago was a much more volatile thing. One just didn't hear about it.
And about risky.
So, but I was really influenced my whole life with Asian art, and specifically Japanese art and culture, and so I'm kind of, getting back to fusing a whole lot of things together for my own work. Just comes from, I want to surprise myself with it, and usually I work with absolutely no concept of what I'm going to do, because I did so many tens of thousands of tattoos, it had to be absolutely planned out and perfect. So I'm painting mainly now, but I do make prints as well. And Paul and I connected in 1995 and did a suite of very complex, large color etchings when he was working in Japan, and we had a great, really hit it off, and we continued to collaborate sporadically since then. So it's really nice to bring it all together, bring it all back home. So this is a wonderful opportunity to be part of this show.
How much do you have to do with the products that bear your name?
Well, that was something that just fell out of the sky, and someone saw actually an article about a painting show of mine at a gallery in Los Angeles and approached me to put some imagery on clothing, and I wasn't even interested, but the guy was a nice guy, and we got going with it, and then it caught the eye of this Christian Audigé, who was a big fashion maven in L.A., real hustler, and he ramped it up into a phenomenal global thing. At one point, there were like 75 sub-licensees. It was on everything you can think of, and so...
We know.
It was, you've seen it. It's everywhere, but... and mostly, I mean, it was good in some ways and bad in other ways. Well, it's pretty much died off. We actually got into a legal dispute with this guy because he was changing my imagery, which was not contractually, wasn't part of the deal. So there were 4 or 5 years where it worked really well, and then my partners at that time and I had to headhunt and found a larger New York-based company, that brand management company, and it's kind of dissipated now. They frankly didn't really know how to, keep the thing going. Christian stepped out, and but it was great while it lasted, and very fortunate for us. And
I don't know. Everybody knows the look. Yeah. Everybody's got it in their minds. You're established as a brand. What are you working on now, then? What keeps you working now?
Just wanting to see what comes out next. And I mean, I just finished a painting today that's completely gestural. A lot of the work I do is sort of abstract and sort of, again, I just want to be surprised. I don't want to do something predictable. And, I have muscle memory for so many thousands and thousands of images. And I just want to entertain myself. And again, it was great to be able to stop tattooing. I tattooed for almost 40 years. So I still have the shop in San Francisco. My son works there, and a crew of other really dedicated people. But I don't have any. I've never had one look that I've dealt with. The thing that got famous with the Ed Hardy brand, most of those were actually images that I painted up for when I was tattooing sailors and Marines in the late 60s and very early 70s. But they're very pop, very bold. I always tell people that traditional tattoo imagery in the West was pretty much like heraldry for our times. You know, they're little distillations of intense human emotions. So, and it's a great subculture in its own, and now it's come in being with fantastic younger tattooers doing amazing, amazing work, everything you can think of. And it's being shown in legitimate venues. There was a huge tattoo show at the Bromley Museum in Paris that ran for 18 months, closed last fall, and it's going to the Royal Museum in Ontario. It opens next month because tattooing is now being recognized in high culture institutions. And my attitude on it when I got into it was to try to make it, realize it, its potential. And, you know, I don't care if people like tattoos. I don't care if they want one, but I didn't want to be demonized. I didn't want to have it. It was so looked down on, you know, for a complex variety of reasons with Western thought systems and religion and everything. But now it's really, it's coming back with a vengeance. And there are, you know, so many tattooers everywhere in the world, and a great number of them are super, super talented and do art, you know, of their own, so.
When you think of one person who might be able to combine the gestural and figurative, which is so much where imagery is at now, right? Mm-hmm. So how can we see some of your current things?
Well there will be a couple of prints in the, three prints in the show. I asked to do the gift print, and then I kind of pushed it and said, hey, Paul, there's two new images. Like, can we do these as prints? And then if you go online and look, just look up my name and look up Tattoo City in San Francisco is our main site, and there are things ad nauseum of my work and things that have been in shows and
current things.
So it's all
out
there.
Are you loving it? Are you liking the work you're doing right now?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's all I want to do.
What colors are you into?
Not any one specific one. That's just I don't know. It's pretty hard to describe the work, but go online. There's plenty of stuff there, and there are lots of YouTube things of talks I've given and you know, shows I've curated, and we publish books too. I started publishing the first tattoo magazine in 82, which exploded, got the whole world going, you know, into a new perception. And so we've published, I don't know, about 40 books over the years. So some of it's my work, some of it's classical tattoo work, some of it's shows that I've curated. So it's a lot of it out there. It's an amazing medium, and somehow it's tied in now. A lot of the new younger tattooers are making prints as well, and Paul's making prints with a whole variety of really super talented people, and it's pretty cool to see that because they have a graphic tie-in. You know, there's the method of tattooing. If you want to do something that looks like a great big brush stroke, you have to really do it laboriously with a tattoo, or you know, with a print for that matter. So they're both very challenging mediums, and they're mediums I love because there's a right and a wrong. I'm not so big on conceptual art. It's one reason that I didn't go to grad school. I had a fellowship to go to Yale, and I thought, I can't do it because the art world was changing then. And so I'm attracted to things that have a sense of craft in the best sense of the word and a deep history. And I feel so connected to people from, you know, painters of all sorts, but certainly printmakers from way back, all these eccentric Northern European guys that I was super, you know, inspired by and still look at. And it's wonderful. It's art's really that kind of runs my life, and I'm happy about it.
People hunched over their plates in very cold climates, right?
Exactly.
But you're in San Francisco, so what are you seeing now in terms of imagery and technique? Yeah.
Well, as Ed mentioned, I'm working with a lot of tattooers, and I invite them to the studio, and I and my assistants hand them the plates, and they work on it. And tattooing is very similar to, I mean, the reason that tattooing and printmaking go together, is, as Ed was saying, is there's lining, there's line work and shading. So the tattoo artists, they get it right away. You have to get the lines down, and then we go back in and shade with nitric acid and stuff on other plates. What am I seeing? I'm seeing a lot of, in the tattoo world, the artists I'm drawn to are working in these traditions that are very rich, that go back a long, long time, and they'll cross over from Japanese imagery to Americana imagery. I'm seeing among my younger students, because I teach at a university too, I'm seeing a lot of interest in figurative work, I think, and again, craft, and just the sort of analog thing, the antidote to our digital age, you know, exactly. Mass-produced images at the touch of the finger. Now, my students who grew up with this stuff, they're more interested in getting their hands dirty and working laboriously on really intricate drawings and plates over a long period of time. Letterpress is huge, you know, movable type, and people are really getting into that on all levels, from greeting cards to street art to all kinds of things. And the reason tattooing and printmaking also relate is because of the sort of democracy of it. It's available to everybody, really. I mean, anybody can get art tattooed on them if they want to. And printmaking is also disseminates images to the masses. That's how printmaking started, to get the word out to a large population of people. And with the internet, we forget about that, but it's important to still do it, because the internet can always go down, and if you have an etching press or a letter press or a silkscreen studio, you can still get the word out by wheat pasting images all over the streets. And I have students who do that too. You know, we can't rely on the internet to get the information out forever. You know, I mean, we take it for granted. But so, I work with young people who are really into these traditions, and there's a huge resurgence of that in the United States among art students. Printmaking is very popular for those reasons.
Your own work. The last thing I saw of yours was a towering bodhisattva that was somehow very light.
Yes. Well, my own work is very rough and very gestural, and I don't edition my work professionally as a master printer. I edition work for the marketplace, and it has to be archival, pristine, something that collectors can hold on to, grab, and pay for. That's how we keep the doors open. But my own work is more has a more distressed look. I'm not too interested in having it last forever. I'll wheat paste it on a gallery wall, and then at the end of the show, I'll tear it off, and it goes away. But I'm still working with bodhisattvas and Buddhas and all the Japanese imagery. So I lived in Japan for a long time, so, and also being influenced by Ed, I keep recycling through those images that go back to Buddhism and kabuki and no drama and Japanese folklore. So large-scale woodcuts on very thin paper. Those are printed by hand. Yeah.
In sections,
and then I paste them together. Yeah, that's kind of our thing these days. Coming out of my studio, where we're working really large, and we make very big prints by incorporating Japanese paper that's easily pasted together like a Japanese scroll, but really big. So we don't need presses. But I have those too.
Oh, you two are fantastic.
Great,
thank
thanks.
You so
we appreciate
much.
It.
Yeah, appreciate
thanks.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.